Our God is faithful.
Yes, he is.
That's a statement right there in itself. And you got to believe that he is faithful. You can open up to Romans chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 3 and 4. Romans 3, 3 and 4. Then we'll go with the New King James. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. Let God be true. That's the Greek word, aleithos. And it means speaking the truth. Simply put, truthful. God is truthful. Now that same scriptures, though, in the Living Bible, says true. Some of them were unfaithful. But because they broke their promises to God, does that mean God will break his promises? Of course not! Though everyone else in the world is a liar, God is not. Do you remember what the book of Psalms says about this? That God's word will always prove true, truthful, and right, no matter who questions it. Though everyone else in the world is a liar, God is not. And we established that, right? In Numbers 23, verse 19. Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man. He will not lie. God is not a human being. His decisions will not change. I mean, he doesn't change his mind. If he says he will do something, then he will do it. If he makes a promise, then he will do what he promised. He is 100% faithful and trustworthy. God's faithfulness is not based on our faithfulness or on the faithfulness of others around us. No matter what, you can always find that God is faithful. Always. Faithfulness is one of the characteristics of God's ethical nature. We touched on that. Ethical comes from the Greek word ethos, meaning moral character. Being ethical in nature involves demonstrating respect for key moral principles that include honesty, fairness, dignity, diversity, equality, and individual rights. God treats everyone equal. He treats us all the same. Acts chapter 10, verse 34, Amplified Classic. And Peter opened his mouth and said, "Most certainly and thoroughly, I now perceive and understand that God shows no partiality and is no respecter of persons." You got to seal it for that for a moment, though. God is faithful, even when we are faithless. Hey, I didn't say it. Not the first one, but 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, Amplified, not classic. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, true to his word and his righteous character, for he cannot deny himself. He can't. It's impossible. He will stand by you. He will stand by your side even when you have endured so much that we seem to have no faith left. We may be faithless at times, but Jesus is faithful to his promises to be with us. See, when he says something, he means it, and it means he will do it. He will do it. So when we fall and fell short in what he wants, he remains loyal. For Jesus to abandon us would be contrary to his faithful nature and his word. He is with us in every high and every low, no matter what we're going through. Through every valley, every mountain we face. You can scale the mountains with Jesus. You can go through the valley with Jesus because he is the light. So that means you can go and tack those things on because you don't have no fear. Now in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. New King James. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. I like this. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Verse 8 in Deuteronomy 31. The Lord, he's the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear and do not be dismayed. Joshua, chapter 1, verse 5, says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Wow. Hebrews 13, 5. For he himself has said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. He must really mean it. He had to remind us, what, four times there? Four times in his word. Never. Not ever. At any time. Not in any degree. Not under any circumstance or condition. He will never leave you alone. He's with you when it's calm. And when the water gets rough and the storm's hitting, he's with you. He's with you. But I love Hebrews 13, 5 in the Amplified Classic. We got to read that in the Amplified Classic. He, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. That should leave you with great confidence. He is faithful to what he promises. You're never alone. 2 Timothy chapter 2 again, verse 13. This time, the Living Bible. Even when we are too weak to have any faith left, he remains faithful to us and will help us, for he cannot disown us who are a part of himself, and he will always carry out his promises to us. Wow. In the world, the older we get, the more we find out that there's a lot of naysayers, though, out there. You run into them all the time. You know, they never have a good word to say about anything or anyone. And they're never upbeat. Always seem that they're down. And if there's a worst case scenario, you will know the worst what if. Come on, you've run into them? I have. Always got the what if. Because see, that's the first thing that comes to their natural mind. And then you know what? Once it goes into their mind, you know what happens? It comes out of their mouths. Tune it out. Tune it out. Because see, once it goes out, it's going on. You've heard it. Don't let it register. Let the word take authority over what's being said. Forget the what ifs. You know, this is one thing. Don't even realize that these people know what they're talking about. Because, see, they really don't. And, you know, I got to think the best of them because I think most of them don't realize that they're even saying it or doing it to you. They just think that they're helping you along. To what if God doesn't do this? What if God doesn't come through? His word promises that he'll come through. It's in our ballpark. And so for these people, I have a cure for them. Word up. Word up. It's like having a flat tire in your car. You know? And you know, it's hard to get anywhere, especially when you have a flat tire in your car. You know? And it seems like they always have a flat tire. You just got to go to the right place to get your flat tire fixed. And that's go to the Word. Or you go to a service center. Amen, Kyle? Okay. And then you have, though, there are some of those other people. They're way too upbeat. They're positive. They're optimistic to the point of being impossible. Everything's good. Everything's great. Their life is fantastic. Their kids are smart, right? My car, my wife, my life, they're just great. And to boot, when I look in the mirror, I'm awesome. I look good, you know. Come on, them people, you run into them. And I look at them and I say, are you real? Come on. And if you have your choice, though, which one do you want to be around? I don't want either one of them around. Sorry, I don't want either one of them around. But isn't it funny how what other people around us think, do, and act tend to influence what we think and what we do in our life? If we're going to see the extravagant, and I say extravagant, abundant life that God has planned for us, and by that I mean His version of it, not ours, or the one that we might be willing to settle for. It's God's version. And we can't base it off of what other people think, say, because after all, it's just their opinion. And it doesn't take a genius to figure out that everyone has one. And some have more than one. Yes. Come on, I've run into them. You probably have too. See, we should never let other people's opinions, no matter who they are, carry more weight than what God's Word promises us. Wow. Very good. Very good. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Sounds like an awesome promise there that I'm going to grab a hold of. Yep. Abundantly. He's going to supply me in my life what I need abundantly. There's no lack in my life. Amen. There's nothing that I can't conquer through Christ. Because I'm more than a conqueror. Because of Him. You know, but when you talk to these other people, all they seem to do is take a water bucket and throw it on the fire of your dreams and your desires that are in your heart. You ever notice that? You go in there, you're all fired up, pumped up. And you talk to them and you come out of there going, because the fire's out and there's this little bit of smoke, but see, there's some kindling still down there that can be reunited. Or reignited, not reunited, reignited. Just because they don't believe in you should not affect what you believe anyways. Because it shouldn't. And you shouldn't even be listening to them. So if you're not listening to them, don't even believe a word they have to say about you. Believe what the Word says about you. Because Jesus is bigger than anything or anybody, no matter who they think they are or what they may think they know. God's Word is final. And God is faithful in seeing His words accomplished on what He sends them out to do. With that, we'll back it up with Isaiah 55:11. Isaiah 55:11, New King James. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For what she sent it. He sent His word and healed. That's one thing He did. When you need refresh, though, your strength needs renewed, go to the faithful one. Go to the faithful one. It's Isaiah 40:31. Isaiah 40:31, New King James. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We want our strength renewed. We want to mount up with wings like eagles. We want to run and not be weary. And we want to walk and not faint. Amen to that? On to do that, we must learn to wait on the Lord. See, and I find myself asking Him that quite often to help me. Teach me how to wait, Lord. Teach me how to wait on You. Teach me how to be patient. Teach me how to be patient. Because when you are, you get renewed. You get refreshed when you wait on Him. Because when you get anxious and try to answer and take care of all five of those problems that have come against you on your own, you get worn down. You get tired. If you wait on the Lord, He'll renew your strength because you'll see each one of them get answered. Because when you wait on Him, it means you're resting in Him. You have patience. Patience pays off. Also, when I read this verse, though, that the way I take it, it's coming from a point of need. And how, if we are willing to bring our needs to the Lord and lay them at His feet and trust in His faithfulness to handle it, lay it there, let it go, let God handle it. Let God handle it. And then you will find yourself refreshed, renewed, and those things will be taken care of. And they'll be taken care of with His abundance of every good thing, because every good gift comes from Him. As we wait on the Lord, it will take faith and patience. For He always delivers on His promises. Always. And again, I say always. God is faithful. Hebrews 6:11-14. Hebrews 6. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. How do you inherit the promises? Through faith and patience. For Verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by no one greater, because there is no one greater than our God, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. Abraham waited 25 years from the time the promise was made. 25. Now, I'm not saying we have to wait 25. But we do have to learn to wait. We do have to learn to have patience. We do have to find ourselves trusting in Him, having the faith and the confidence in knowing that He's got it. He's going to take care of it. He's going to take care of it. Don't grow weary. Don't get tired. Wait on the Lord with faith and patience. See, when we wait on Him, you will run and not be weary. I remember watching Timmy run. With his black hood on and his head. And the only thing you could see was coming down the road was that nose and them barges that he ran with. Man. You didn't grow weary then, did you?
No, sir.
You could go back to doing that. Quit trying to take on everything and let Him handle it. Have the faith and the patience. And you'll get back to running and not be weary. Tim lets me use him, so. Thank you, Tim. Thing is, when we get to that place of tiredness, we normally feel like we have nothing left to give. By this point, we are normally spent everything. We're wiped. We've exhausted all the possibilities our understanding can even try to comprehend. But Proverbs 3:5 says we are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding. No matter how hard you try to understand or work it out in your natural mind, it just doesn't happen. If we would trust Him to take care of it, simply believe in Him as able to do what He promised in His Word, you know what you'll hear? Now, that was easy. You make it harder than what it is. That's why He wants us to stop. That's why He wants us to come to Him. It's easy when you go to the Lord. You drop it in His lap and you trust Him. He'll take care of it. Don't make it harder than what it is. And we all do, though, myself included. And then I got to step back and say, whoop, what am I doing? Here I am trying to take it back out of His lap after I dumped it on His lap. And He wasn't even upset. He says, yeah, I can handle that. Just leave it there, son. I said, okay. All right. And I walk away from it. And I pray in the Holy Ghost. Because my mind is saying, you need to go back and get that. Pastor Jack, you need to go back and get that. I got to wait. And then 24 hours later, and sometimes even sooner than that, it gets answered. Now, not all the time. But I mean, it happens. But the more you learn to trust Him, the more you give it to Him, the more you'll be able to leave it there and you'll get those answers quicker. Thank you, Lord. But the thing is, when you have a need, and you expect God to work in your life and to answer it, have confidence He will. Whatever you have, in whatever state you are in, you have to do one thing, though. You have to give it to Him. Mm-hmm. And you have to leave it in His lap. He can handle it. He can. So I say to you, just give it to the Lord. Just give it to the Lord. Roll it over onto the Lord. That's trusting in Him. Trusting Him. Because what are we supposed to do? In Psalm 55, Verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the full weight of it, and He will sustain you. He will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved, made to slip, to fall, or to fail. He'll hold you. It says He'll never let you go. He's got a hold of you. He will strengthen and support you both physically and mentally. God does not want us to be burdened down. He knows we weren't created to carry the weight of them. That's why He sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to take the load off of our backs. To get it off of your back. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, or chapter 28, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. NIV. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Brother, take that home. Let her know she's not alone. She doesn't need that burden. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God is faithful to take our heavy burdens if we will cast them upon Him. God will always meet our need, no matter what the size. Mark chapter 6, verses 34 through 38. Message Bible. For you, Brother Dean, here's a big time need being met. Verse 34. When Jesus arrived, He saw this huge crowd. At the sight of them, His heart broke. Like sheep with no shepherd they were. He went right to work teaching them. When His disciples thought this had gone on long enough, it was now quite late in the day. They interrupted. Hey, Jesus, we're a long way out here in the country, and it's very late. Pronounce a benediction and send these folks off so they can get some supper. Jesus said, you do it. Fix supper for them. They replied, are you serious, Jesus? You want us to go spend a fortune on food for their supper? Right away they went to money. Now, it wasn't that they didn't have enough money. Jesus' ministry wasn't poor. You know how I know that? He had a treasurer. You definitely need a treasurer if you got a lot of money to handle. So He wasn't poor. But He was quite serious. How many loaves of bread do you have? Take an inventory. Well, that didn't take long. Five, they said, plus two fish. 5,000 plus meals served. Jesus took what they had, and He blessed and He multiplied it. Best fish dinner they had ever had. And He fed all of them. Men, women, children, and probably the pets who came along. Because back then, they had dogs. They had kitty cats. But they also had goats. They had lambs and camels. They were pets. But you know what? After all that, there was leftovers. And when I take Vicky out to dinner, she always has leftovers to bring home. I don't know how. I sit down and say, man, I ate all mine. But you go to Mark chapter 8. Remember, this is chapter 6. Now we're going to go to chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Message Bible. At about this same time, he again found himself with a hungry crowd on his hands. He called his disciples together and said, "This crowd is breaking my heart. They have stuck with me for 3 days, and now they have nothing to eat. Their lunches are gone. Their packed bags are empty. If I send them home hungry, they'll faint along the way. Some of them have a long way to go home." His disciples responded, "What do you expect us to do about it? Buy food out here in the desert?" This is 8:6. Short memories. That's all I got to say. They have very short memories, did they not? What did he do? He asked them, "How much bread do you have?" 7 loaves, they said. And again, Jesus blessed and multiplied it. A meal for another 4,000 met. Both times, the expectations to meet the need was enormous. But he met them. He fed them. When you add the two up and get everything together, you're talking around 34,000 some people got fed in a couple days' time there. With one time with 7 loaves and the other time with 5 and 2 fishes? The size of your need may be great in your eyes, almost impossible to meet, but not to God. Size does not matter to Him. It may be small, it may be large, but they're all the same to Him. Matthew 19, verse 26, Jesus said, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." All things are possible. In Philippians 4:19, which we all know, says, "God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus." God is always faithful in meeting your needs, your wants, and your desires. But first of all, He's going to meet your needs. And how do you handle getting your needs met? Are you thankful? With a thankful heart, you receive them. You praise Him. And then those things you have the wants for, they'll come along. Then there's those desires you have. Hey, they're going to get met. When you receive from Him, be thankful. It pays. It pays great dividends. Delight yourself also in the Lord. And it says, He will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 34:4. Now this morning, I showed this to Mr. Auden, but when I went over and I saw Debbie in the morning, just before they took her in, because, see, I went there and was sitting with the family, and I says, "Where's Dean?" He was still in the back there. I'm wondering why nobody's going back. You know, I got up and I went out and I said, "Well, Vicky, I got to go find out what's going on." I went up there and I said, "Hey, you know, I'm here for Debbie Usman." I says, "I'm her pastor. I'd like to pray with her." "Wait a minute," she said, "lady." She walked on back, and I'm standing up there, I'm waiting, and then she's standing in the hall. I go, "Come back, take it, ready to take her back now." He says, "She stopped everybody. Did a hold of our pastor's here, wants to pray with her." Yeah. And all I prayed for those that were going to do the procedures and everything. Because I said, everything else has been covered. We prayed for it. We were in agreement with the words that she had. But I said, when I was coming there, God said to me in my spirit, "Share this scripture with Debbie." And I said, He says, "Take your notes." I'm ripping my notes out of my briefcase before I went in there. So when I went in back there with Debbie, I said, before we pray before you leave, and then people are waiting to take her. I says, I'll show you what the Lord gave me. He gave me 1 John. 1 John. Chapter 5, verse 15. And this first one is the Living Bible. If we really know He is listening when we talk to Him and make our request, then we can be sure that He will answer us. NIV. If we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. He's faithful. King James. If we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Need I pray any more about what she was going to go through? No. So that's why I prayed for the technicians. Because Debbie had the confidence and the trust and the faithfulness to believe in her God to get her through this. And He did. Completely. And He will give us the desires of our heart. Now here's another example of meeting the needs, though. Needs of a widow whose husband had served the Lord as a prophet. 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7 of the Message Bible. 2 Kings chapter 4, 1 through 7. One day the wife of a man from the guild of prophets called out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. You well know what a good man he was, devoted to God, and now the man to whom he was in debt is on his way to collect by taking my two children as slaves." Elisha said, "I wonder how I can help. Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Nothing," she said. "Well, I do have a little oil." "Here's what you do," said Elisha. "Go up and down the street and borrow jugs and bowls from all your neighbors. And not just a few, all you can get your hands on. Then come home and lock the door behind you, you and your sons. Pour oil from that container into each container. When each is full, set it aside." She did what he said. She locked the door behind her and her sons. And as they brought the containers to her, she filled them to the brim. When all the jugs and bowls were full, she said to one of her sons, "Another jug, please." And he said, "That's it, Mom. There ain't no more jugs. We filled them all." Then the oil stopped flowing. The need was met. Well, she went and she told the story to the man of God. And he said, "Okay, go sell the oil and make good on your debts. Live, both you and your sons, on what's left over." He just didn't meet that need. He met it in an abundance. Sounds to me like their investment paid off in the Lord. They obeyed. They listened to what the man of God said to do. And they lived happily ever after. You know, I just presumed they didn't have to work no more. Boy, they were rich. Sold all that oil. They cornered the market. Through God's ability, not theirs. Because they had faith. Faith in the faithful one. We've talked about material needs. But God met our needs of healing, by sending us His only begotten Son to be the sacrificial lamb. His body was beaten, broken for our healing and wholeness in health. In Isaiah 53, Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 7. Surely he has bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Verse 6, and we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughterer, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. He never opened up his mouth. He took it all for us. You may be weary and tired. You may find your faith diminished and gone. See, that's when you look to him who is faith. Full. Draw from his faithfulness. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. What's it say in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. We're talking about the cross, folks. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law when he went to that cross. And for a list of the curses he redeemed you from, they're all listed in Deuteronomy chapter 28, starting at verse 16. They're all listed. And I like verse 61, though. It says, also, every sickness and every disease which is not written in this book of the law. Every sickness, every disease. That's what the Word says. So you can confidently and boldly declare, by his stripes, I am healed. Amen? Amen. I think you guys have had enough. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Amen.